everybody's here for our roll call. And did you guys have a chance to look at the minutes? Any corrections or comments? Everything good? So we'll go ahead and adopt those.
Nathan's tapered order has a better mind rate than mine.
Yeah, he has the benefit of going back.
Because I'm assuming that his was, well, a whole lot.
It looked darn fine.
Yes, it did. It was captured well.
Thank you.
Excellent. And so tonight we have a presentation by Dr. Warren Johnson. And so Dr. Johnson, if we'll go ahead and
thank you.
Take it.
First of all, I greatly respect what's going on here. And so I'm going to try and respect the attorney and keep this to 10 minutes plus questions. Notice the title is Benefits of Fire EMS Countywide Consolidation. I fully understand that this is beyond your charge. Your charge is on San Juan. And so if it goes to countywide, it's going to be very interesting getting the charge from all the agencies. About myself. I'm a retired ER doc, 44 years in practice. I was president of my specialty society in California, 2000 emergency docs. I moved here in 08, became the interim medical director of IIMC for a year when that was falling apart. And for lack of funding, it was $750,000 in the hole. And it was pretty clear that we needed that Peace Health, we needed a bailout from Peace Health, not just a hospital, but a bailout. So we had to cut salaries, which was really difficult. It caused a great deal of consternation among the folks. Also worked as a staff ER doc at Peace Island for 2 years during the transition from 2010 to 2013. Chaired the EMS levy campaign committee in 2016, and along with Rebecca Smith and some help from other folks who are in this room, in Karen. And we barely squeaked by, okay? I mean, everybody thinks 76% wants a landslide. Whoa. I'll tell you more about that later. So I recognize, and I've been working with EMS here for a while, that it's a very challenging environment to be able to recruit and retain. It's not career friendly, you know. Who wants to come to this little island to build a career, thinking of the big city? I mean, you're talking about young people. We have service fragmentation with all these agencies operating in silos called islands, and haven't really had any chance to work together. They should have been organized together from the start, countywide. And somehow or other, we're trying to work. I would hope that we're trying to work backward to that, or forward to that. There's no permanent levy, so it's discontinuous funding. It runs out in 2022. Finances are unstable. There's no long-range financial plan for EMS. Costs per run are way too high. Again, recruitment and retention, trying to get volunteer EMTs. But in spite of all that, you know, we have a great core in this agency. We've had excellent paramedics, highly committed EMTs, and I would say that they've been beaten up pretty badly. You know, everybody knows that the costs are incredibly high, but you know, it's an essential public service, and you know, we have the problem of relying on the ferries, relying on air transport. We have a very all hazards disaster prone area. Right? I'm going to put a lot of emphasis on that in the next couple of minutes. So, these exhibits, everybody wants to think about the best behavior. You know, 9.1, tsunamis and all that. I'm much more worried about all these faults that crisscross the islands. A friend of mine, Garrett Green, put me into some of these. The Devil's Mountain Fault runs from Darrington right through to Victoria, right off the south end of South Beach. It would damage 5,000 structures if it happened here in Skagit County. This is a state's scenario. One of those structures might be the ferry terminal. Or the Cascadia could cause a tsunami to take out the ferry terminal. And of course, this could also cause a tsunami in East Sound. 9-foot tsunami in East Sound. That's the modeling for East Sound with the Cascadia. Other, so you've seen this exhibit. This, oh, by the way, Gary Green tells me that from he's a bathymetrist who looks at the seafloor, and he showed me features on the seafloor maps that show how we're actually on a small plate. San Juan's on a small plate that's rotating clockwise. Fascinating. And you know, by the way, we've got fault zones, big one right up through Dead Man Bay. Where the lakes are on the other side of Mount Dallas, that's a big fault zone. That whole other side comes from Southeast Asia.
I don't think we had copies of that. I didn't see that one.
No, I didn't. I didn't put this one in. I just wanted to show it off. So here's another thing. Here's the mutual aid agreement. This is hospital district, all the fire districts, and town of Friday Harbor. Date, 2005. Looking at the back, the signatories here. I don't think any of them are still here. If Dan can tell me. There you go. And we've already experienced failure to provide aid to the outer islands in our EMS district, where episode on Stewart, that couple of episodes that Orcas had responded to, even though it's our district. So we're not geared up for this kind of response, in my view, this kind of response at all. I looked at the websites for the health department, Mark. It's there. You know, the plan is there. It's about 50 pages, and there's a lot of blanks that need to be filled in. Same thing for emergency management. I talked to Brendan Cowan. And his opinion was that, you know, consolidation would be good for finances, but not necessarily for what I'm interested in, which is command and control. So, I want to get into the history of EMS here just for a minute. As I said, the EMS survival was very much in doubt after the polarization of the board, which, you know, you had political antagonism between between different factions. And two failed, and after two failed levies in 2012 and 2014, and you know, one of them was trying to get a permanent levy, and that failed. And so we didn't try that in 2016. But we strongly emphasized that EMS is an essential public service. Dick Grout virtually made me come up with the sign, with the you know, the byline, which was save EMS, vote yes. And we had, you know, Reds, that was it. That was all it was. And we, you know, we were in the newspapers. We were at the market just about every week. And right up until July, the vote was in August, and there would have been another opportunity in November. But if we hadn't passed it in August, we would have run out of time. The budget would have been totally belly up, and the medics would have all left the island. Because how are they going to count on a job? So, right up until that very moment, the last publication in the newspaper, the last opportunity to get a 2017 budget in to counter the teabaggers, I'm sorry for the expression, but they were all primed. They were these people have no idea what they're doing from the standpoint of the budget. How do we know they need the money? We couldn't demonstrate it without a draft 2017 budget. So we convinced the board to get it in the nick of time. And then we went on to succeed. And as you see, it's pretty tenuous. Look at what happened in Pierce County last night. You know, they all failed. Snohomish, I think, barely squeaked by. I don't know if that failed, because they needed 60% also. So this is not a friendly time for the new taxes. And you know, the affordable housing didn't help. Much as you know, many of us are in favor, people feel like they're taxed. Yeah. So I think EMS is very fragile. And the leadership, as we know, is currently in transition. And we really need to find a good interim chief. And we need to do it as soon as possible in order to set the stage for anything else we want to do here. So, benefits of consolidation. Local and whole county. Big one, recruitment of highly qualified leaders. New fire chief is a great start. Especially with his EMS background. We need to be able to cross-train with the other islands and break through these silos that we call islands. We need to, it would give us economies of scale to support continuous funding and solvency, but we're all going to be accused of this being a bailout. Well, guess what? But that's okay. You know, don't run away from it. EMS is an essential public service. What would we be without it? So, again, whole county mutual aid, if we're consolidated, would be automatic. And, you know, we could use that as a point of advocacy for recruitment and retention by having a larger organization. And again, unified command and control and disasters. Right now, we've got a chief who's off island, EMS chief who's off island 3.5 days a week. You know, where do we start? Who responds? Who's in charge? So risks and threats for consolidation, including everybody's going to be defensive, we know that. They don't want to hold on to their local control and their individual silos and their local funding. You know, if I lived on Orcas, I'd be real worried about and being part of the debt structure over here. Inter-island rivalries or just different cultures. Not so much rivalries, it's not like we hate each other, but you know, when all those little Pisians drive on the ferry, I don't know if I'm gonna get on. It's you know how people feel about these things. I love the other islands. My wife did the candidates forums for League of Women Voters, and I got to be the doorman. That was fun. Chasing people out after their speeches. So, higher transportation costs for training and meetings, but you know that can be virtual. And we got the tools for that, right, Nathan?
Yes, sir.
Working at it. So, recommendations for the CAG. Again, countywide consolidation, even though it's beyond your current charge. It's a historic opportunity. So I urge you folks to keep moving forward and make your reported recommendations as soon as possible, because time is of the essence. It's already being recognized in the community as our hope for a better future for AMS. And if that wasn't a wrap-up, I'm going to go to some of the other disaster scenarios really quickly that we're not prepared for. Loss of ferry service for weeks. Trout Lake dam rupture or pipeline rupture, no water for weeks. Tsunami in East Sound, I covered that. Plane crash in Friday Harbor. Jolly trolley, multi-casualty incident. A shooting, a bomb on the ferry. Norovirus from a cruise ship into local restaurants. We almost had that one a couple of years ago. You'd be amazed at the possibilities, okay? This place is a tough place to work. The last patient that I had at Peace Island was a gal that was in false labor. Four times we had to fly her off the island. She had craniopelvic disproportion. She was scheduled for a C-section to anacortes, and they would not budge and do it early. That's their protocol. And every time we got fogged in for hours and hours, I had to give her tocolytics. And Trent, one time I almost got her to Bellingham, they fogged in, and then they almost got her to anacortes, and they fogged in, and then Bellingham opened up again. That's the way it is working here. He knows. So that's the way it is for the medics, too. It ain't easy, folks, but it's really essential. Where would we be without it? So thank you for the work you're doing. Keep it up, please.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Dr. Johnson?
Are those guys, any of them still alive?
Well, they're still alive.
None
of them are still the chiefs that they had the capacity of when they signed the document. I think a couple of them might still be on Lopez or one of the other islands. I forget who else signed.
Just wondering.
But no, Mike Harris, no, not so much. Bill McLaughlin, no, not so much.
Someone over the past, they got barely be old. Not that old.
Thank you very much for your thoughts. While it's not our charge, I think we've all become appreciative that the resources are limited. And by having a greater amount of resources gives you potentially greater opportunity. And so when you look at this, I think that depending on, how it falls out, having something that would be of a greater reach in resources is probably a good thing. So that may not be our charge, but I think, you know, I've been amazed, and I've only been just recently here, but I've said the same thing, that, you know what, if you could reach further, you could maybe do more. And one of the things that I think every one of these individual organizations struggle with is the capital side. They can keep the operations going because people kind of see that, and so they levy up to that aspect. But it's really tough to keep a good continuum going. And that in and of itself has potential if it was on a larger scale. So very appreciate your thoughts, and appreciate you coming in and sharing your thoughts with us. Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it was very helpful just because we've had some discussions, and we keep nibbling around the edges about the idea in sometime in the future about a regional either emergency services agency or a regional fire agency. So your comments were are helpful. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move back here.
All right. So, do we have any committee reports? I know I still have some work to do on my end, both with George.
I sent you what I consider homework. I mean, Everybody has background now that you can learn everything there is to know about levies and fees and lessons, basically.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it occurred to me that not everybody reads MRSC religiously, but they have a remarkable amount of information that's really useful, and I wanted to make sure that we at least had the same background.
Yeah, no, it was very similar.
I had a chance to look at that, because what we need to do now is get the questions we want to put to MRSC specifically about our issues,
right,
and the process we think we might look at going forward, and see what they would recommend, and if they have any comments. And they won't give a legal opinion, but they'll answer questions.
And yeah, I think just framing up the questions, as we discussed.
Framing really the question is where we need to be, and I thought the basis of that should be the MRSC documents they link you to. So, okay, that's pretty much all I really did.
And George, is it better for me to just send you some thoughts on that?
Yeah,
just
I want to collect whatever you think might be a question that wasn't answered already in something that we either saw on the site or whatever. Because I've thought of one. I actually did a little research on the question that I saw raised in some of the documents there, which is public agencies, what are referred to as municipal corporations in the world of the RCWs and stuff, which is never defined, interestingly enough. So nobody really knows what a municipal corporation is because it's not defined anywhere in law. But they're supposed to pay through a contract for fire service with their local fire agency if they don't happen to operate that local fire agency. So, for example, the town of Friday Harbor might not need to contract when they ran their own fire district. They don't need to contract now because they have a contract for service with them. But if somebody other than the state, it's at local agencies, but you know, the schools, for example, for a while, you would have thought they would have had to contract because they don't pay property tax, they're not paying for fire service.
Right.
So they should be paying in a contract for fire services delivered by the local fire district at a rate that would be commensurate with the cost of delivery of that service, theoretically. Except nobody's doing it, so I'm still looking for where it says in law that they don't have to. Because the consideration being, the county has lots of buildings, everybody has lots of buildings, and if they aren't paying property tax, how are they getting their fire service if they're not paying for it?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about Washington. I know in California that is an ongoing battle between particularly the state and local government as far as providing services.
Yeah, who provides it for what cost?
City fire trucks go to state buildings,
mm-hmm,
but the state's not paying,
for
property tax or paying paying for those services otherwise. So.
Yeah. So anyway, that question is not answered in anything I can find yet. So that's a question I'm working on. So questions like that come up might be interesting and relevant, because as we change, like, oh, we're going to annex, you know, the town. Well, that means you're going to annex the buildings that are owned by the county, public works, and whatever
anywhere else. It's in the town limits. Do they have to pay for fire service then? Anyway, those will come.
Yeah, and then I had another question, which we don't need to get into, but I'm having such a hard time framing it up. I might have to draw it on a cocktail napkin.
And that's fine, too. And we can meet sometime to talk after.
Yeah, that would be great.
I'll try to find the time. Schedules.
Perfect.
Or if you want to go for a drink.
I didn't say that I couldn't be here for drinks. But I think we should try to get together, because sometimes sketching on a piece of paper and saying, this is what I'm trying to figure out.
Right. Would be helpful. Yeah.
So we'll do that.
And as far as contacts with other groups, are you guys making some of those contacts?
I've been in contact with several people in Skagit and following some of the information from Bellingham. But we haven't had a chance to put it in all.
Yeah, I think what would be helpful is maybe before we leave tonight, is we never really appointed who was in charge of scheduling the committees, so I think I'm just as guilty as everybody going, I wonder if someone's going to call me. And I didn't call anybody else. Dan actually reached out to me today, and I was off island. But I think it'd be helpful if whoever's on the committees, we just get together and we agree on some dates to meet in the next couple of weeks to move this forward. Because I share in that responsibility for not reaching out and saying, hey, we should need to sit down and talk about what we were supposed to be working on. And we never did that. And so I would like to spend some time today to recognize that and make it happen to the next meeting.
Yeah, we could do that now.
Yep.
We could just knock that out.
And as far as the finance, Brad sent me the approved fire budget. The non-approved EMS budget, which is probably real close, was handed out tonight. Nice. They're all, unfortunately, PDF'd. And so I've asked Nathan if we could get maybe an Excel, just so that it would make it easier to transpose it. Yeah, more quickly. I talked to Scott, and his is supposed to be ratified sometime mid-month for his budget. I have not spoken with Jay, but I was going to call Jay over at Lopez and just see if he'd be willing to share so that we could do some side-by-sides.
And you could tell Jay we'd be willing to share what we've got. I mean, if it's helpful to him.
Well, I mean, all of it's public consumption anyways. So I hope what I want to do now is go ahead and build an Excel spreadsheet. But I want to get, unfortunately, like Brad's, some of them they're just bucketed dollars, like administrative salaries or operational salaries or training maintenance salaries and so forth. So I really want to try to break out then by person so that we can also look and see if there was a consolidation. Would there be a shade at all? And then look at the operational side and see how the components of operations marry up with the other agencies as well to see, you know, what we perceive, you know, based on what Scott said, you know, that he's running a 2.25 to 2.5, and that we're somewhere around, you know, 3.5 to 4 or better, you know, with running almost the same call volume. There's a bit of a disparity there. So what does that really mean? So we'll kind of try to take a look at that and break out what that might look at. So I think that if I can get Scott's, you know, probably by, I forget what our schedules are like, we have one more before the holiday, or right after the holiday.
Right after the holidays.
Yes. I guess actually probably by then I could actually have a first run at the numbers for us to start to kind of look at and start to do a comparative, try to look at the administrative side versus the operational side, look at the revenues and so forth.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I think we can get it.
And Rick, I'm willing to help you if you want, because I said that I would help you with that if that's something. Or if you want to work on the spreadsheet yourself.
Yeah, I think the spreadsheet would be easier, you know. I mean, we could bounce it back and forth, but I think it's really going to be just questions of, like, Brad and of EMS and so forth to try to see to try to get as much apples to apples in the administrative or overhead side versus the operational side, and try to figure out what those things are, and the fee for service, you know, the revenues, streams, and so forth. But I think once I do it, then maybe let's sit down and, okay, and we can kind of see if there's questions that you and I generate that we want to get more information before the kind of the rest of the group dives in.
I think the side-by-side, especially as close as we can get apples to apples, would be great.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, it's maybe a little beyond our scope, but it'd be interesting to hear when you come forward with those numbers. If one of the things we might recommend, it would be nice if all of our agencies all did their budgets the same way. That it was less, it was one process, because it should be as transparent as possible, and it would be nice to be able to look at those numbers. Somebody should be able to pull that up and see that across the board.
I'll keep that dream out there.
I keep hoping.
But it's a good thought, and you know what?
I think we might want to say it.
I think we got a little bit too much gray on top, though, for that in our time frame. But there could be somebody out there.
It can be done.
It depends on how much detail you want.
Yeah, you can get the Eden reports.
I was going to say, I'm sure we can get the Eden versions of everybody's budget, but it isn't going to have the granularity Rick's talking about.
Right. Yeah.
But and you can certainly see across everybody's.
But they could bucket the dollars differently.
Right.
I mean, that's really
that's where that gets important.
Yeah, I mean, you then really have to know into what category they're sticking what expense, because that's really that it really can be skewed in one way or the other. So, but it's a good thought, and we can take a first run at it, and then maybe we can go after that. And so forth. I guess the second piece to it would be, so we can do a comparative, but then do we do a build? In other words, you know, when we start to go into the report, do we try to some level design what maybe the ideal system would look like, to see if there's then opportunities for financial value? And that's really, I think, where we can then sit down really and at least take a first run at that as well, too.